You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action coming up on Wednesday, the 17th of October. We've got a decent day of action in prospect as well. We're going to be at Nottingham, we're going to be at Bath, we're going to be at Wetherby for the first fixture there at the jump season, Newcastle and Punchestown over in Ireland as well. And you can join me, John Gibby, and I'm going to be in the studio with Andrew Mount and James Millman throughout the day to take a look at all the action. But here on the podcast, I am joined by Gareth Tobin to take a look at what's coming up on Tuesday. Hello, Gareth.
Yeah, hi, John. Looking forward to the action on Tuesday. And, yeah, the jump season just revving up a notch or two, isn't it?
It is indeed. It's the first thing it says, it's not a bad day of action for a Tuesday in general, especially at this time of year, for a Wednesday, I should say. Today, as we record this on Tuesday, we've had Hereford come into the picture, we've got Wetherby coming in on Wednesday, and these are the sorts of tracks that when they start to come into the list of fixtures, you know that the proper jump season is upon us.
Yeah, we had the big two-dayer at Chepstow, didn't we, on the weekend. That, I think, was the first time where the real sort of high-quality names were starting to filter back through, and we were treated to some really good racing. We've got some really good cards this Wednesday, both in the UK and over in Ireland. And then we sort of warm towards this coming weekend. I think next weekend after that, we've got Cheltenham coming back. So, yeah, it's all bubbling up nicely. It's just a great time of year.
It is indeed. And, of course, Wetherby with another one of the early season highlights with the Charlie Hall. That'll be with their second meeting in a couple of weeks' time. So we really are in that exciting time of year. You've picked out two selections, as usual, for us, Gareth, here on the podcast today. And the first of those does indeed run at Wetherby.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the final race at Wetherby. There aren't too many runners there all day tomorrow. I think I counted about 37, 38, something like that. The last race on the card has six in, but you know, it wouldn't surprise you were any of the six to win it. It's very trappy, very open indeed. We've got the Scottish champion hurdle winner Midnight Shadow running for Sue Smith. Danny Cook will be on board that one. The one I quite like is Aristo Duplessis, who might just be a bit of a price. He's got a good record fresh, though. He's capable, very capable off this sort of mark. He only ran twice back last season, and they were both at this track. He won them both, and he won them both well. And he was in the process of winning at this meeting, I think it was this meeting, maybe two or three years ago, indeed it was, behind Superb Story. He looked to be in the process of winning. He took a horrible fall at the end of the back straight, but he was flying along and jumping really well prior to that. And I've always considered this horse to be one of, you know, the really good-looking horses in training for National Hunt Racing. He's a gorgeous-looking animal. He's a very bold racer. He obviously likes Wetherby. And I think he's going to give it his best shot. But just given the calibre of the opposition, you know, he might be a bit of a price tomorrow. I think Midnight Shadow's got every chance, you know, on the sort of form that saw him win the Scottish champion hurdle. And he can go well fresh as well, so he needs to be respected. And the ground is going to be quite quick at Wetherby tomorrow. And I think that's the reason why generally they are quite small fields. I think, you know, they are trying to water to maintain it. I think they'll be hoping for sort of good, but there are a couple of firm patches in one or two places. And as I say, I think that's why we've got quite small fields there all day tomorrow. But it's quality over quantity.
There's decent racing indeed at Wetherby on Wednesday, but there's even better racing at Punchestown, including a couple of Grade 3s, Gareth, and your second selection is in one of those two races.
Yeah, I'm going to the Buckhouse Novice Chase at 3:40, a horse called Winter Escape, who used to be trained over in the UK, and he was pretty good in his first season over hurdles. He went unbeaten 3 from 3. That was when trained by Alan King. He's now across in Ireland with Aidan Anthony Howard, and this horse, I saw saw, I was in the studio actually when this horse won at Galway back at last month, and I was just really, really impressed with the way he went through the race. He travelled strongly, he jumped like an absolute, you know, natural all the way through, and he certainly looked as though he was going to be destined for bigger things in this sphere. He's a 7-year-old, but he hasn't done a great deal of racing, and he probably wasn't the most battle-hardened as a youngster, but he just looked all class, I thought, at Galway the other day, and if he was able to back that up, you know, the dangers. We've got Cubo Mania, who I called to win at Perth a couple of weeks ago. He's actually won on the flat at Ayr since then, so he's going to be a pretty tough nut to crack. He's arriving in good form. The highest rated, actually, of these is Cadmium. Ruby Walsh has had his first winner since coming back on Tuesday, so he'll be full of confidence once again. And this one has got form lines, which ties in with another rival in this race, Ornua, who's up at the top for the Henry de Bromhead Yard. It's just a race chock full of quality, but it was, I don't know, there was just something quite sort of absorbing about that performance at Galway from Winter Escape last time, and I'm hoping he can go to the top, and this Grade 3 might just be a, you know, the way forward for him. So yeah, Winter Escape to win, and hopefully he can build on what he showed at Galway, because that looked quite good.
What do you make of these good quality novice chases at this time of year? I mean, they're very good for what they are, but it's a little bit early to be considering the horses that are coming out and being competitive in them among the potential prospects to be the leading novices of the season, especially because if they're going to be going all the way through potentially to the spring festivals, that's going to be a long old season.
Yeah, it is a long old season. So we've only, well, we're in mid-October now, so I suppose you could say the season is just about to get underway in earnest. You know, conditions are likely to change somewhat, and I don't think the ground yet, because we've had such a dry summer generally in Britain and Ireland, that the ground yet has fully got to what it perhaps usually is at this time of year. Take the Weatherby meeting tomorrow, for example. We've got very small fields. I don't think in previous years, I've called this meeting, not last year, but two or three of the previous years, and we've had much bigger fields. The ground, there's been a little bit of juice in it, and it's not quite the same. So it is going to make for an interesting season ahead, because we've got one or two of these horses that, you know, have been running through the summer. They're able to carry on a little bit longer than would usually be the case, because they've still got the underfoot conditions to suit them. When the rain does come, and it will, you know, it's going to turn very testing. And then again, it's probably going to dry up a little bit, hopefully, for those spring festivals. We have had a couple of freakish years, haven't we, where Cheltenham's turned up on the testing side. You look at last year's festival, and Aintree as well, they've had plenty of cuts. So as you say, John, it's a long enough season for those that are starting out at this time. But then again, if they are kept specifically for better ground, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a break mid-season and coming back for the big spring festivals. So it could work out perfectly for one or two of them.
And last but not least, quick words on Enable, star of the other coach. She's going to go to the Breeders' Cup, and then they say a decision is going to be made about her future after that. First of all, great to see her going to the Breeders' Cup, even if Ark winners don't necessarily have a fantastic record when they do go stateside following their victory. And, well, the prospect she could be back next year. Very, very good for the flat. Of course, you have got a few people saying that maybe she's done everything she can, having won two Arks. Of course, you could say she can come back and win another one. But Gareth, would you be in agreement that her coming back next year would be good for the game?
For the game of racing as a spectacle, to get people through the turnstiles, yes. We saw it with Frankel. You know, he kept on winning. He came back a year older. He kept on pulling it out. Can Enable do the same? Well, she was out on her feet in the closing stages of the Arc the other week, but she still managed to win it. Fantastic race. I was actually quite surprised that, you know, that announcement about her going to the Breeders' Cup, because for me, a lot of Enable's best form, ever since she won that maiden race at Newcastle, you know, the best of her form for me has generally come on. I tend to associate her winning on big galloping tracks, you know, York, Ascot, Shanty, Longchamp. They're all big galloping tracks, whereas, you know, at the Breeders' Cup, it's going to be a left-handed mile, very quick conditions, you'd imagine, and yeah, although she's beaten the best that are currently out there, the American Challenge does pose a completely unique and different test, and one that she perhaps hasn't quite endured before. So, yeah, there's a slight risk, I suppose. I was mildly surprised. I thought she had a hard enough race the other Sunday, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, John Gosden is an absolute miracle worker. He knows the horse better than anybody. and he's decided to take her, you know, decided to let her take a chance. I think with regards to next season, if she wins the Breeders' Cup, she comes back next season as a racehorse. Yeah, she's a racehorse. Let her run, you know, and hopefully she can come back, and we'll see another clash between her and William Haggis's Sea of Class, because that would make for a wonderful race. You know, the 5-year-old versus the 4-year-old, as it would be. You know, that's all to look forward to. Hopefully, if she goes to the Breeders' Cup and wins well, if she goes there, gets beaten, who knows what they're going to do with her? As they said, they're going to wait until she's run over in the States. But you know, hopefully she will come back next year. But like I say, you can get too much of a good thing, and there's obviously that massive risk that if she does come back next year and then she obviously isn't quite the same, you know, it's a little bit detrimental towards her. You know, she's done so much so far. She's looked amazing. Her fees at stud are going to be absolutely through the roof. So yeah, hopefully she comes out and she can keep on doing it. But for me, she did have a hard enough race last time out.
You mentioned the track as well in the Breeders' Cup. I suppose what you take from that is that even though it was towards the beginning of her 3-year-old campaign, she was a winner of the Cheshire Oaks. It's obviously very, you know, very tight, very. It's much more. I'm not saying it's just like Churchill Downs, but it's much more similar to American tracks than Ascot or, you know, as you say, Longchamp, Chantilly, these sorts of places.
It is, yeah. It's just the way that she's developed, I think. I've associated her with these big galloping tracks, you know, since her career has really progressed. You know, she's gone into stardom. And the American challenge, always find it. I mean, there's always massive European interest, huge British interest, but it is a completely different sort of test for any of our horses going across. And it always looks really quick. Mm. It always looks really, really quick. The Americans, you know, they're on their home soil. To them, it's the World Championships. You know, they've got everything, nothing undercooked going into it. And again, she's likely to be taking on some of the best that we've got in Europe. You know, that she's probably gone and beaten before already, but it's a very different test. She'll be going into it. Yeah, all right, she's had it. You know, there'll be a break of, what, 5-6 weeks between the two races. You know, it's a decent enough break, but it was a hard enough race, I thought, that she had in the arc. And I wasn't fully convinced by the decision myself. I was quite surprised by it, but you know, at the same time, hugely excited, because you know, the Breeders' Cup, it's not necessarily for everyone. I tend to cover it, if not here, then down at other off two places from time to time. And you know, it's a meeting that does get a lot of European interest, but it does vary in terms of what horses are actually going over there year on year. Well, if an Able turns up, and it looks like she's going to, you know, it's going to be well worth staying up for. So, no, fantastic that she's going over, and best of luck to them.
We look forward to the Breeders' Cup, we look forward to the start of the jump season, and we look forward to Wednesday on Racing Radio. Join me, John Gibby, for all the action with Andrew Mount and James Millman. But Gareth, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.